Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney, and today we're going to be talking about more anti-drone technology, Australia's going to be putting traffic lights on the ground, and more. So we're going to start off the show today, talk about more anti-drone technology. I got into it a little bit last week. And the most interesting one I've found is U.S. government's Federal Aviation Administration is trying a new British company's technology, what they're calling it the freeze ray. Now, I'm not talking like, you know, the guy in the X-Men who physically just freezes stuff, you know, casts out some sort of magic power that creates ice crystals. According to this, what it does is it uses a thermal imaging camera that will allow to detect small drones and other aircraft. I'm assuming what it does is being a thermal image, everything creates heat. So it finds it, even a small signal, so it's got to be a pretty good thermal imaging camera. Then according to this, what it does is it actually sends out a signal that blankets that general area with, I'm assuming, some sort of white noise and physically jams it from the controller. Now, some drones, from what I've read, will actually just stay there. I'm assuming, you know, depending how smart the drone is, might actually land. I have access to an EJI Phantom 3, so I'm pretty sure what that one's default does when it can't detect anything, I'm pretty sure it either goes back to home, if you set a marker where home is, and lands, maybe it'll drop out of the sky. Now, the interesting thing is in a statement released by Graham Bell, managing director of Chess Dynamics, said a counter-drone is now a global issue, an increasing concern for military, government, and homeland security across every continent. So apparently military people are having big issues now with civilians having drones. I mean, it makes sense. You know, anybody can get them. I mean, you can build them. And they range in price anywhere between like $100 and up. I know a guy who builds them. I mean, from what I've read and from seen, it's not all that complicated to do. So what do you think? Do you think there should be more of this? Do you think drones should have like a whitelist of where to fly? I'm pretty sure that was something in the government was talking about, is having on-built maps built into each drone saying, okay, you can't go here and stop it. They say it's expected that more aircraft will be used, more UAVs or UASs or whatever it actually stands for, will be used for malicious intent. You know, I don't know about that, but I'm actually for stopping drones at airports and other that. You know, I mentioned how in the King Fire, there are people flying the drones, and there's a couple of interesting things. I mean, besides this, there's a Japanese or Chinese company that uses one drone that actually shoots out a net and captures the drone. Yeah, so I'm assuming the drone crashes, which is more likely, or the drone carries it to the ground. Another interesting one is a Dutch police have been training eagles to snatch enemy drones. And they're probably coming up with what's probably the best low-cost solution. I mean, eagles and owls and other birds of prey have been used for years in airports to scare away other birds. And what it is a lot of these bigger predators, like, you know, hawks and eagles, for example, have a pretty wide territory. And since they're the masters of the sky, pretty much no smaller birds are going to go in their area. They're going to get eaten, honestly. So this is one of the better solutions I've heard. Now, the question is, will the eagle or hawk or owl or whatever they're going to use, will they get hurt? Now, my assumption would be, depending on the type of drone, probably not. And their talons have enough crushing force. I guarantee between their wing power and their talons, they'll be able to ground the thing. Now, according to this, the keeper will release, in this case, it's a white-tailed eagle, glides straight towards the drone, clutches it in her talons, and drags it to the ground. And they're rewarded with a piece of meat. So what do you think? Is this something bad? I know there's got to be some PETA people that are upset about this. How would you stop drones? I like the net solution. I like the eagle solution. I don't know how well I think about using that freeze ray. I mean, how directional is that beam? Now, my question is, the beam just go straight towards it? Will it completely stop it? Will it hurt other airport stuff? And, of course, this is stuff they're going to test because the FAA, I don't know if you guys know much about it, they test everything. I mean, they're not going to do anything on an airport that's going to hurt you, me, or even them. So what do you think? Is it something interesting? I know there's been a bunch of other stuff. I know there's jokingly called, for shotguns, called drone loads. And that's honestly a solution to stop it. How would you do it? Is there some way that you would stop a drone? I'd love to know. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about drones now that we talked a little about anti-drone technology. And I talked about EJI 3 drone I have access to. And the most interesting thing about this and the company is the firmware on this drone is updatable using a micro SD card. You actually put in the camera. It's the same SD card that the 4K footage actually gets recorded to. And so with that being upgradable on the higher end drones, the U.S. government could easily have no-fly zones, which, hey, I'm totally for. And the coolest thing about that is, in theory, you can have programmable routes. You could easily do something for, say, like I said last week about having, you know, say you have a guy riding a horse across the plains. You could easily map out the flying location, have it automatically fly, keep track of the guy, and you can have a, and while you're doing that, you can have another cameraman on the top, you know, kind of doing a faraway sweeping shot. And so drones have an amazing potential and have been used in the film industry for years. Another use for drones, you know, we talk about is the military. Military have been using drones probably, last time I read, various degrees of drones have been used for years. Matter of fact, a drone, more or less a drone, it's a giant flying airplane, was used in World War II, if I remember correctly, and it was a flying bomb. You know, so the idea of drones have been around forever. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I'm really curious what you guys decide about drones. I'm kind of hopping around here, going to go a little bit more about the anti-drone stuff. So if, say if they use the freeze ray, or they use the Eagles, or they use the net, and it was your drone, you know, say you were playing with your drone and you weren't really paying attention to where you were. Not quite sure why you'd be flying it next to a military base or an airport, but what would you do? Would you be upset? Would you be mad? Would you go, well, it was my fault? I know for me, I'd probably be on a little upset side. I know the EGI drone, I think, is roughly $1,500. The coolest thing about that one is it does come with a control surface, but part of the control surface actually requires a cell phone. And what you do is you download that from the Apple Store or the Play Store. You plug it in, and you can see the footage. You can actually watch footage real-time of you flying. You can track the GPS coordinates. You can track the rotors, pitch, and yaw. I mean, it has a myriad of options, and so I think that's one of the better solutions I've seen. Now, what I really want after playing with that is I want two modes. I want a mode where somebody can control it. You know, so you have the controller, and the controller, the iPad sits on top of the controller. It has a little nook in there. And I want to, there's that mode. And what I want is a second mode where somebody's controlling it. They can watch it, you know. And then I want to be able to control the camera. I want to have a separate cameraman type of guy going, okay, I want a left sweeping shot. So he tells the guy, okay, go up to so high in here and I'll control the camera. I know for me, that would be useful. I'd be able to fine tune it. I'd be able to do this and do that instead of really having to fly it and do the camera work. I mean, I know people do both, but for me, it would be kind of cool having two, you know, like a puppeteer type of thing. So has anybody out there have access to drones? I mean, drones are really the latest and greatest toys out there. Now with the prices coming down, Walmart, last time I saw, some Walmarts have them for $120 or cheaper. There's a ton of drones out there, and there's a lot of people now who have access to them. It's actually becoming a big problem. One of the reasons the U.S. government has them to be registered the last so many years. And there's becoming a lot of countries that are becoming more aware of the problem of drones. Like I said, Britain's definitely had them. I guarantee France and the rest of European countries. So I think that's interesting. Now, coming up after the break, I'm going to be talking about something interesting. It's becoming a major problem for a lot of countries lately. I want you to guess what it is. I did say it in their opening, but I'm curious in what you think. What is the biggest problem today when it comes to cell phones? What is the single biggest thing that's actually caused quite a bit of problems in, say, the last 20 years? I'd say a lot more with the invention of cell phones. And will you hold that thought? I want you to think about it. I'll catch you after the break.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Now, there's been a really big problem with what I'm about to mention in the last couple of years, probably the last 10, like I said before the break, definitely since the invention of smartphones. And Australia has what I think is one of the more creative solutions to this. It's a little bit on the expensive side. Australia is putting traffic lights in the ground because people are being glued to their cell phone while crossing the street. Is that really a problem? No, don't get me wrong. I text all the time. I'll play with my cell phone while walking around, but is it really a problem that people are being ran over because they're not paying attention to the walk, don't walk signs? I'm a little shocked, but this is a good solution. I actually think it's quite brilliant. Now, what it says, so according to the article, the average pedestrian is immensely hard to look up from the Instagram scroll when you need to, say, scroll the 4 or 5 lane freeway. Basically, what they're saying is people are too busy reading the Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, news, email, Twitter, instead of looking up. Now, according to this, the New South Wales state government is looking at trial base for ground-level traffic lights at key crossings in Sydney, Australia from December. They're fed up with the pedestrians who can't take their eyes off the screen. The government is obligated, nevertheless, to try and save their lives. It will implement a 6-month trial of traffic lights at a cost of $250,000 American money. Now, I'm actually really godsmacked by this. I didn't think this was that big of a problem. Now, I've heard of people running into poles, falling into fountains, walking into their car. I've heard a lot of crazy stuff. I've never heard of people being run over while they're crossing the street. Now, would this work for you? And how much do you use your phone when you're walking? Honestly, one of the reasons why I love a smartwatch. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to listen to an earlier episode. We did talk about smartwatches, and this is one of the use cases for them. The best thing about the smartwatch in this case is, say if you're crossing the street, you can see, okay, somebody's texting you, somebody's calling you, you know, look up, hold down, you know, hold, just, you know, tell yourself, you know, I'll answer it when I cross the street. And it's interesting because pedestrians are apparently less protected in a road crash and more likely to be serious injured. So this is one of the more unique ways I've heard of to try to protect civilians and citizens when they're crossing the street. Now, my question is, are they going to be mounted on the ground? Are they going to be lower level? Because I was thinking, if your eyes are straight on the ground, the only way I could see that would this do any good would be maybe mounted on the ground, you know, say right on the crosswalk. And if that's the case, how expensive is that going to be, say, to dig a trench, bury some lights, and by the way, have some R&D in lights that won't get destroyed? I still think this is a brilliant solution. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I'm kind of on the iffy side to say this will work, because if the people are looking at their phone, I'm not quite sure if they're going to be completely focused enough to see the stoplight on the ground. The sites, according to this, the sites for the new underfoot traffic lights, so apparently will be ground mounted. So they haven't been announced, but it will be installed in five places in the city, the central business district. It was announced as part of a new town of Towards Zero advertising campaign, which aims to highlight human impact of crashes and fatalities. Now, according to this, and I got to warn you, this is a little bit of a grim statistic. So if this is not your thing, I'm really sorry. But this is probably apparently an epidemic. Is 61 pedestrians were killed in New South Wales roads, a 49% increase from 2014. Now, according to this, a similar initiated rollout was tried in Augsburg, Germany in April. Excuse me. And other places. Now, so I want you guys, my audience, I want you to imagine you're the gentleman in charge of this. What would your solution be? If this is a big problem, which obviously it is, how would you fix it? Ground-mounted traffic lights, automated gates that stop you from walking. One of my favorites is in some of the places I've been, when you hit that button, you know, and it changes over, the thing beeps at you. You know, it goes beep, 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 but you know, you should walk. I like the auditory cue. Because if you're spaced out enough and you hear that cue, you're like, oh, okay, I need to walk. I need to put my phone down. What are other ways? I'm really curious on what you guys think would be the ultimate solution to this issue. But I also think this is the same issue they had with texting while driving. Now, I'll be honest. What I'm about to say is not safe, so don't try it. But in the interest of science and being a journalist, I was curious at how actually hard it is to text. And so I went on my local road in a back country road somewhere. Nobody was on it, you know, going 25 miles an hour while trying to text. I don't know how people do that. It was one of the single most hardest things I've ever done, because I do full sentences when I type. You know, I do apostrophe, periods. So I do the whole thing. I don't know how anybody does that while driving. Siri, for example, is perfect for that. I love, like, voice dictation. Like, hey, Siri, text Bob. Tell Bob I'll be at his house at 11 o'clock tomorrow. I like that. That's awesome. By the way, if your cell phone's near and I just set it off, sorry about that. So I'm interested to see what you guys think. How would you solve this issue if you were the person in charge? Please get back to me. The articles will be in the show. Links to the articles will be in the show notes. And I'm really curious in how you would fix this issue. And we're going to switch it up a little bit to probably one of the most expensive cell phones I've ever heard of for people who need security. Now, what it is, this is an Android-based phone with military-grade security in your pocket. Now, for the security and for this encryption and other things built in this phone, it's $14,000. You heard me right, folks. It's a 14 ended by three zeros. Now, according to this, it's a Samsung Galaxy Edge. To in comparison, the newest, latest, and greatest Samsung Galaxy Edge costs less than $800. Now, that's the high-end phone for the consumer market. Well, consumer being, you know, normal people. Because, honestly, a $14,000 cell phone is not going to be for your average citizen. It'll be for business people, like, say, CEOs. It'll be for day traders, people who really need that high-end security. Now, it's the team behind it is Solarin Syrian Labs. Now, let's see. So the kind of security that's coming to this phone for $14,000 goes farther than encryption. Inside of its base storage is 128 gigabytes of 4 gigabytes of RAM, a Snapdragon 810 2 gigahertz processor. So it's a snappy phone. This is no slouch. This is a fairly high-end phone. So it comes with built-in encryption. The difference makers are on the bet that their 23.8 megapixel camera, fingerprint sensor, Italian leather, blah, blah, blah. Basically, it's saying what it is. There's a lot of built-in features in this phone. What it probably does, I'm assuming it has standard encryption based around the phone. My assumption would be it has communication-based encryption. Pretty much what it would be, say, if somebody else has another phone, I'm assuming it's end-to-end encryption. Because that would be really the only true way to keep your conversation safe was you dial Bob and say Bob has another one of these cell phones. You wait a little bit. Basically, what it is, it'd be a security handshake, and then boom, you two are talking in an encrypted line. This is pretty high end. I'm pretty sure some of this is military based stuff, and I think it's interesting. I'm not the use case for this. Obviously, would you want a phone if you could afford a $14,000 leather encrusted phone? Leather encrusted. Well, if you could afford a $14,000 phone, would you get it? Would this be needed? Do you need the ultimate security? They say in the article, it's questionable whether it'd be successful, because how many people have the need for a high-end phone like this that has this type of security? I'll be honest. If I could play with it, I'd be the first person in line. I'd love to see it tested, but I'm not quite sure if I'd be able to test it. Now, we're coming up to a break. Now, I want you to do me a favor. Give me an email, Facebook, wherever you can get a hold of me. I want to know what you think about some of these stories. So we'll catch you right after break. We have more great information for you.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Now, we're going to be talking about cell phones a little bit more. And one of the more interesting things that have come out, at least I'd say in the last 5 days, besides a $14,000 military-esque cell phone, is OtterBox. Now, OtterBox makes one of the best, and I mean the best cases out there. This is the one I tell everybody to get. I tell everybody to get the OtterBox Defender because I've accidentally thrown my iPhone 6 Plus across rooms, and not everybody should. I can't afford to replace a $600 cell phone every time I drop it, so this is perfect. Now, this the case I'm talking about is a modular phone case, so it probably has, I'd say, medium to low-end ability to protect your phone. Probably it's not that it does not look like the Defender, which is the one I like, but this one is cool because it has options for you. You know what I mean by options is it has, say, a mount pop off a slide in the back. You can put an extra battery. It looks like there's one for a card reader on Square. There's one that allows you to put a lens on there. Now, lenses have been a thing for a while for a lot of niche photographers, and right now the Android phones are the number one camera used. So being able to add like a little zoom lens, a little fisheye lens, you know, is something a lot of people actually want. There's a thing that has for an extra battery on there. Yeah, like the, what is it? Not the MiFi. There's an actual couple of cases that you have built on that are solid battery. I have a 6,600 milliamp portable battery that I always carry with me. So having one that you can slide onto the case and slide off is kind of cool. Ability to get more storage would be there too. My guess is on some phones have unbuilt storage. It wouldn't really be hard to do, say for an iPhone, have a case with a lightning bolt connector, put it in there, have a built-in storage on the phone, on the case. Now, what do you think? Is there anything in a modular phone case that you would you want? I don't know. What would you want? I mean, you can get to the ridiculous. I actually think a modular phone case would be kind of cool. Say if you're boating and you have like the modular water case on it. You know, say this has a whole case on it and comes with a floaty and does a bunch of other things. I mean, you could get really ridiculous and really awesome with this. You could have just a myriad of different things. Now, the thing I like about if you look on the website, and there'll be a link in the show notes, is there was a mount. The amount for a small tripod. Now, as a guy who's done a lot of footage and a lot of interview-based camera work, I think this is cool. This would allow me to do a quick video podcast, set it up on there without really carrying any sort of gorilla mount or any set of other accoutrements and some sort of attachment, basically screwed onto the bottom of the base of the camera case, angle it, and then boom, there you go. Now, granted, the front-facing camera on any cell phone is not. Well, honestly, it sucks. They're not that great. But I love the idea to do that. Or you can set it up and do a time shot. Time-lapse, for example, the iPhone has time-lapse stuff built in. And there's a ton of apps that let you do something similar. So, you know, say if you're in a hotel room somewhere and by the ocean and you do that and put that on there and leave it for a couple hours. If the phone has a storage, you know, why not? I mean, I think the modular idea for a case is absolutely amazing. Now, I didn't see a price for the case, and I'll be honest, this is where I failed you. I'm sorry. And my guess, it'll probably be the price range of normal OtterBox, probably anywhere between $49 and $100. And from what I read, the accessories will be a separate price, of course. And I'm assuming depending on what the accessory is, we'll probably go anywhere from $10 to $100. The Square mount was the one I was interested in. Now, I don't do a whole lot of things with Square. I'm not even sure if I've used Square. I've used the PayPal one in the past. The thing I like about that is this other Square readers I've seen hook into the headphone jack. Now with the 6, 6S and the 7 and 4 and further down the load, actually the 7's getting rid of the headphone jack, but with the 6 it's right at the bottom. I'm not a big fan of stuff plugging into the headphone jack or the lightning bolt connector, you know, and having it just hard mounted on there. I like the idea of having it at the back of the case. It's a little bit more secure, a little less likely chance that you're going to snap it off and have to force yourself to get a new phone. So what do you think? I keep asking this, but I really want to know what you think. Do you think it's going to be something that you're going to dig? I'm going to try it. If I can find it for a decent enough price for my phone, I'm totally going to give it a try. Definitely give it a shot for some of the camera work I do. Please let me know. And we talked about the next thing for a little bit, a couple episodes ago. Now, this is about the Microsoft is dropping the price for the Xbox One, the current version of it, for $299 just in time before unveiling the slim Xbox One at E3. And this is something most companies do. PlayStation did something similar a couple of years ago with the introduction of the slimmer PlayStation, the 3. And so they say they're set to announce a new slimmer Xbox One. Rumor has it should be 40% smaller and come with a 2 terabyte hard drive. By the way, I am totally jealous My model comes with a 500 gigabyte hard drive, and it's maybe six games on there before I have to start deleting stuff. And like I said, in a couple weeks ago, it'll come with a bigger, more bigger hard drive. Sorry, I lost my place. The next year's model allegedly will be a more powerful processor, more RAM, better video card, something like that. That's not uncalled. I mean, that's not unusual. What do you think? Would you buy it? If you have an Xbox One, would you get rid of your current Xbox One so you could get a slim model? I'll probably end up buying one of the newer Xbox Ones anyways, because I, like I said before, I've my history and track record with Microsoft game consoles isn't really pretty. So what do you think? I mean, Sony even introduced, even said they're going to come out with a different version of the PlayStation 3, newer 4K video support, stuff like that. Now, Sony announced it sold 40 million consoles of the PlayStation 4. Microsoft apparently has stopped reporting unit sales, but some company called VG Charts estimated that they've sold around 21 million. Now, if you're a gamer at all, you realize that PlayStation has won this generation's console war, just like Microsoft won it before. And this is all on Microsoft's hands. If you follow this at all, Microsoft really, really goofed up during the last couple of years, E3, when they announced what they were doing. And if you're not sure on that, let me catch you up a little bit. What they basically said is you couldn't trade games. You could install the games on the console and pretty much not have to put the disc in. But doing that would pretty much lock the disc to your console. And probably what it did is each disc comes with a unique identifier. And when you plug in and it has live, it'll say, oh no, this game has already been used. And so you couldn't trade games, couldn't buy used games, and used games are a big thing for most people, just because not a lot of people can afford a video game that's $60. I know I buy a lot of used games just because a lot of the games I buy, I wouldn't want to pay the full price with because I want to try it. Now, games like the one I talked about last week, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, I'll pay full price. I'm actually thinking about buying the upper tier one. I think it's roughly $100. Now, what do you think? I mean, apparently E3 conference isn't June 13th, so we definitely have time before they make any sort of announcement on what they do. So what do you think? Is there anything you'd want to do with the Xbox? How would you want to change it? I'm really curious on what you would do to the Xbox to make it better, greater, improved. So please let me know. And if you really want to listen to, and I hope you do, previous episodes of the show, go to gsmcpodcast.com. That's gsmcpodcast.com, where you can listen to previous episodes of Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. You can also listen to other awesome shows we have on this network, like the MMA podcast, the sports podcast. And just please listen, like, subscribe. I guarantee you will not be disappointed by the awesome content we have on this network. Now, on today's show, we talked about new anti-drone technology, like the Dutch using eagles to take down drones. We talked about a modular phone case, a $14,000 super secure military-grade cell phone. We talked about the new slim Xbox One that's going to be coming down the line, and more. I want to thank you for listening to this week's show, and please go to gsmcpodcast.com and listen to previous episodes.